Now, the verses that I want to leave with you tonight, here in this chapter that we've read together, the chapter 8, are the verses 1 and 2. Thus hath the Lord showed unto me, behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. Now here in this chapter, we have the fourth vision that the Lord gave to Amos here concerning this basket of summer fruit. And of course, it is ripe for eating. And of course, it applies to Israel. The Lord is going to come and judge his people. And he is going to put his hand upon them in judgment because of their awful backslidings and because of their sin. They have turned away from the Lord and they have gone away from him. And of course, there's always consequences when any people turn their back upon the living God, especially a people that know the word of God and know his will and know that which is pleasing in his sight. But note here as well, brethren, that the Lord in his mercy, that he gives a very clear message as regards the judgment and how short they have come. And it is brought before the people here in this picture, this vision of the basket of summer fruit, ripe, ready for the eating and ready for the judgment. And you see the kindness there and the mercy of the Lord. It's not a vision that is complicated. It is not difficult. It's not something that they have to ponder about and turn over in their minds time and time again. No, it is this basket. It's filled with fruit. It is ripe. And the message is this, that the Lord is going to judge. He is ready for to act and put his hand upon his people. And what an awful time it would be here for the people of Israel, especially, of course, the northern kingdoms. Their worship would be affected. Note what he says here in the verse 3. And the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day. They ought, of course, or they should have been hymns of praise and of worship and of rejoicing before the Lord. But oh, when the judgment of God would fall, there would be a great lamentation. He goes on here to say, there shall be many dead bodies in every place, and they shall cast them forth with silence. So instead of a time of pleasantness, and a time of happiness, and delighting in the Lord, it would be a time of awful judgment. And of course, this chapter sets before us as well the awful backsliding of the people and how low they had come, how far they had gone back from the Lord. Note here, just in passing, what he says in the verses 4 and 5 of their dishonest dealings, their corruption, the deep corruption of their hearts. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, falsifying the balances by deceit. Oh, the dishonesty. The one thing that they were interested here, those that were high and mighty and the wealthy, the one thing that they were consumed with in their greed was just for making money. Couldn't wait until the Sabbath would end, till the feast would pass. They wanted to get right in there. And they wanted to make more and more money for themselves. And how awful that the people had fallen to this level. Yes, when money and pleasures become the God of the land. How awful that is. How desperate. The things that are just the physical things. The profit, the money, consumed of what shall we eat? And what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? That was the thing that the people were interested in at this time. And of course, isn't it so in our day as well? Isn't there an awful decline? A falling away from the gospel? And from the things of God? And from the fear of the Lord? And so that the vast majority of people are taken up with the material. The material things. Let's get more and more. More riches. And all of these things. But of course, the judgment of God, the hand of God is bound to come. Sooner or later, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. And we're thinking of the harvest, this harvest weekend. And as we sow, yes, whatever is sown in the material, the mercy of God it is reaped. But it is so also in the spiritual. Whatsoever we sow and continue to sow, sooner or later, there's a reaping going to come. There's a day of judgment and there's consequences for the land. May the Lord in His mercy, may God in His mercy visit each and every one of us. We need a visitation from on high. We who are saved and know the Lord, we need to be revived. We need to be quickened. We need to be blessed. May the Lord quicken each and every one of us. Doesn't matter, preachers, elders, everyone. We need the quickening hand of God upon us. We need to be lifted up surely on a higher level. I often think of the words of that hymn and I repeat them in my own prayer time. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. By faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I need that. Don't we all need it? That we be lifted up on a higher ground. Well, we're thinking here about this basket of summer fruit. And we're thinking about the consequences of God's judgment. Now there is a ripeness, first and foremost. There is a ripeness that is gradual. Isn't that right? There's a ripeness that is gradual. Nothing matures at once. We all know that. If we do a little bit of work in the garden, we put in vegetables, we put in different things there in the spring. We sow, but it doesn't mature, of course, overnight. The farmer knows that very well. He's had years of experience. There has to be a preparation for the sowing, first of all. For the sowing of the seed, there has to be a time of ploughing. There has to be a time when the ground is cultivated. And all of that work has to go in, first and foremost. Then, of course, as time goes on, we see that the flower comes first. And then the fruit appears, by and by, as the days go by. We look for it. We inspect it, as it were. First the flower, and then there is the fruit. And of course, the farmer, he will go out into his farm where he has sown, where the ploughing has been done, the cultivating has been carried out. And he looks at his fields, and of course, he is glad. He is delighted to see that the corn is coming. It's coming gradually. It's coming gradually. You can just barely see it there on the land, on the landscape. And then as time goes on, it matures and it grows well and it makes his heart glad. So there is this maturing. There is the ripeness that is gradual. And there, of course, as we think of the spiritual aspect of things as well, there is that maturity in the spiritual things. There's a maturity in the spiritual things as well. May the Lord help us each and every one that we don't come to a standstill. We're looking for a harvest. Our time of harvest will come when we'll be taken away from this earth, from this scene of time in which we live. But may the Lord help us to keep going on steadfastly in the things of the Lord. There is a maturing in spiritual things. The awful temptation is for to get cold and to go back and come to a standstill. Oh, how we need the fire, the power of God, the Holy Ghost, for to lead us on and to revive us with life from on high. Lest we lie down and lest we fall asleep, as it were, spiritually. That's what we need. That's what we need in the Church of Christ today, don't we? Let us pray for it. If we turn there for a moment now over in our scriptures, if we turn there to 1 Peter, turn open your Bibles there to 1 Peter and the chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and in the verse 2, we read these words. 1 Peter 2 and the verse 2. He says, "There as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Do we desire more and more that sincere milk of the word, that we might grow thereby, that we might progress, that we might go on to that time of harvest, looking forward to the Lord's coming again in glory? Oh, how much do we need, each and every one of us, brethren, to treasure up the word of God in our hearts. To treasure it up. Are we making headway? Now, we all need to be reminded of this, don't we? That this book that we have opened before us tonight, this word that we have opened before us, is the word of God. It's the number one book. It's the number one. You may have many good books at home. They may be on church history and biographies, and that's all very fine. Nothing wrong with that. But, oh, dear Christian brethren, let us make this the number one. The word of the living God. How can we grow? How can we be strong? How can we have an increase? If we're not feeding on the word each and every day. Oh, let us open it. Let us read it. Let us pray over it. Let us hear God speaking to us. And again in 2 Peter chapter 3, just over a couple of pages, and in the verse 18, we read these words as well. "For Christ hath once suffered for us, for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Quickened by the Spirit. Oh, how we need this, that we might indeed be quickened by the Spirit of God, and that we might grow continually in the things of the Lord. We must be revived. There's a harvest. There is a harvest. And there must be an input. May the Lord help us in these days in which we are living. Are we not living in, as I said before, in days of a standstill almost, of a stagnation? And we say, well, if there's going to be a growth, there has to be an input. We have to put the effort in ourselves. We have to put the effort in. Oh, how sad it is if we have to go out in the garden, or if the farmer there goes out and he inspects the field, and perhaps he'll say to himself, "Well, I have sowed, but I don't see any of this. It's going nowhere. This crop is not going anywhere. There's no sign of the seed, whatever. There's nothing to be viewed. There's nothing to be seen." How sad it is. How sad it is. Oh, don't we need to see again? Don't we need to view again the majesty and the holiness and something of the glory of God, the one who works, the one who works? It's one of our great needs, isn't it, today? just to view again, to stop and be still, as it were, and to view the glory of God. How great He is. We don't want to be singing in the hymn, "How great Thou art, the Almighty God," and to meditate upon Him, and to think upon Him, and to be strong in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. And of course, the unconverted man is getting ripe also. Do you realize this tonight here in the meeting? If you're not saved, do you understand that you're getting ripe for judgment? Each and every day that passes, every week that passes, every month that passes, there's a ripeness. Thank God the Christian, the child of God, is maturing for glory and for heaven. But you know, the unsaved, the man out of Christ, the individual who knows not the Lord, is getting ripe for the judgment. Let me quote you the words of the hymn that you know so very well. How do you know but your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight? Over the deadline tonight. How is it with you, dear friend, if you were to die tonight? If your life was to come to an end tonight, where would you be in eternity? That's the thing. Eternity. We don't think about it enough, do we? How vast, how awesome is eternity? And if you're not saved tonight in the meeting, and you know not the Lord, you are getting ripe, but it's for judgment. It's for judgment. Do you remember the words of the Apostle Paul there in Romans? It is in Romans and in the chapter 2 and in the verse 5. He says, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." That's exactly what the unsaved man, the ungodly man, is doing. He's treasuring up something every day that passes, every week that goes by, every year. He's accumulating something, and he's treasuring up to himself wrath against the day of wrath. The unconverted man is getting ripe. But praise God tonight that there is, as we often sing again in that great hymn, "There is life for a look at the crucified one. And there's life at this moment for thee." And dear friend, the moment you look to the Lord Jesus Christ and put your trust in him for salvation and for deliverance and for the forgiveness of sins, you'll be saved. And the moment you come to him, confessing your sin and calling upon him, thank God you'll be converted. And you'll pass from death unto life and from the power of Satan on to God. A ripeness for judgment. I think that ripeness has already, that progress has already begun in our nation and in our land, hasn't it? Just like Israel, who turned their back upon the Lord, privileged people, privileged in many things, but were more interested in the material, more interested in the things of earth than the things of God. And judgment came, and what an awful judgment it was. That judgment fell upon them about 40 years after the prophecy of Isaiah. Dear friends, tonight God is on the throne. He's in charge of all things. Even the waves of the sea. Even the storm. He's in charge of all things. He controls everything. And he sees the nations. He sees the land and the contempt for his word. And look at the awful confusion that we have today, that we see all around us everywhere. We have it in our schools. We have it in every area of life. A judgment. There is a rightness, of course, which ruins. There's a rightness which ruins. And there's a rightness, just like the harvest. The end is come. When the end is come, when the fruit is ripe, it is consumed, isn't it? It is consumed. We often say, well, perhaps you've been to the shop and you have got some fruit, or whatever it might be, but you said, I just can't eat that. I wish I hadn't bought that, whatever it might be. It's not ripe. It doesn't taste right. It's too hard. Perhaps you have to bin it or put it to one side. That's just not ready. That's not ready for it to be consumed. We don't like fruit that is not mature. But how awful to think of the multitudes that, as I say, are going on to that ripeness. You know, dear friends, tonight many people think that death is the end, don't they? Many people think that death is the end. That's the end of life. There's nothing more. That's the popular belief today everywhere. When my last is come, when I breathe my last, that's it. People used to speak, and they still speak, about the grim reaper of death. The one who takes life, as it were, death. Earth to earth, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. But the word of God reminds us all tonight that the soul lives on. When the body is laid in the ground, when these words are pronounced, the soul lives on in eternity. Either in heaven or in hell, in everlasting punishment. There's a rightness which ruins. That's the final end of it. It's the consummation, as it were, the finish of all things. You remember the words of our Savior that we have in Matthew's Gospel, in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and in the verse 32, we read these words. Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And then if we go down to the verse 41, we read these words. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Everlasting fire. Well, people say they laugh, don't they? They mock. No such thing, they say. That's not for our day and generation. To speak of everlasting fire, we don't believe in that anymore. We have come so far. We're a different people now. We know more. We have no time for this punishment of everlasting fire, or for any preaching about hell, or for the words of our Savior, Depart from me, ye cursed. We don't believe that. We have no time for that sort of preaching. But look again at our Savior's words in the verse 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Everlasting punishment. There is a rightness, dear friend, which ruins. It's the finish. It's the end. Can I ask you tonight that personal question? What about your destiny? What about your destiny tonight? Is it heaven or is it hell? Is it glory Or will you go down to that place, go to that place of everlasting torments, prepared for the devil and his angels? But there is a process as well. Finally, there is a process that may be stayed. There's a process that may be stayed. Is there somebody here tonight in the meeting? And you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm just ripe for judgment. There's no hope for me. There's no hope for me. I have nothing whatever to look forward to. All I want to do is just for to live for my sin and to live for the world. And that's the end. If there's going to be a judgment, well, I feel I'm ripe for it. I'm ripe for it. But as I've said already, praise God, this is where the gospel comes in. This is where the wonderful message of the gospel comes in. There's no other message in the world like it. Yes, there's a harvest coming. A harvest of separation, the righteous from the ungodly. But dear soul, tonight you can be ready. You can be ready for that harvest. A process that may be stayed. Now, isn't that so in the natural realm? A man, perhaps, he goes out and he plants a lot of trees. Or he plants a great crop of vegetables. And they seem to be doing well. But then he noticed that there's some infection. There's some infection in the tree. There's some infection in the crop. And he steps in and he says, I have got the cure. I've got something for that. And he can take away, as it were, he can go there and he can cut out different parts and different pieces. He can deal with the matter before it's too late. Before all is lost. And suddenly, perhaps as time goes by, he sees that the thing has been rectified. The thing has been rectified. And that's what I'm saying tonight. Yes, there is a process that may be stayed. There's a healing power in the gospel. The grace of God that saves to the uttermost and is able to make you a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Are you worried about your latter end? Are you concerned about the judgment to come? Are you saying, as I've already stated, are you thinking to yourself tonight, I'm gone too far, there's no hope for me, I'm ripe for judgment, and that's it? Oh, dear soul, this is where the wonderful message of the gospel comes to each and every one of us. This is the glory of the gospel. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's what he came for. To save sinners, the downcast, the worst of sinners, who feel that they're finished and they have nothing whatever to live for. Praise God, the Lord is able to lift them up and he's able to deliver. Don't we talk even today about, well, we did years ago, and I'm sure it's the same today. The farmer would have spoken about saving the hay and saving the corn. He was delighted and is still delighted to get fine weather, a spell of fine weather where he could save the hay, get it into the barn, into the shed. And how pleased, how delighted he would be when it was saved. How delighted he was when the corn was saved. Saved from the storm and saved from the bad weather. Saved from being lost. How pleased and how delighted. And dear soul, tonight, this privilege and this blessing can be yours as well. Have you tried everything in this world and all has failed? The money, like Israel here, living for just for the for the gain and for the material things, living for the money and the wealth and the popularity. I was reading the words there of a famous, back in the day, Chris Evans, who was a great personality on the television, very popular. He was a multimillionaire, one of the head men. But you know what he said at one time? He says, "I have been at the top, and there's nothing there. I have been at the top of my profession." Yes, he had millions, wealthy and famous and all the rest, a star. But he said, "There's nothing there. There's nothing. It's empty." But praise God in Christ Jesus, there is a fullness. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. There's a process. Yes, a ripeness for judgment. Almost there, ripe to be consumed. But thank God it may be saved. The crop may be rescued. The tree may be healed. The disease may be stopped and taken out. And the Lord is able to make you a new man, a new creature, and give you life and life everlasting. That basket of summer fruit. Oh, but how sad the people of Israel. They had been warned time and time again, but they went on. They went on and on and on until it was too late. Don't leave it, dear soul. Young person tonight, don't leave it until it's too late. There's an answer for death. We're all going to die. Don't like to think of it. People don't want to speak about it today. But we have to meet God. You're going to have to meet God the Almighty. And you can be ready for to meet him. That's why he sent his son. Praise God, the precious blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. And the Holy Spirit of God makes a new creature, a new man. Look to him and trust him. May the Lord bless these few thoughts to our hearts. In the Savior's name, amen. Thank you, brother.